This is Jazz of Enchantment, a radio series spotlighting just some of the talented jazz players with ties to New Mexico. I'm Paul Ingalls. On the saxophone, that's Kanoa Kalahiva. Kanoa was born in Honolulu, Hawaii. His family then spent time in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin before settling in Las Cruces. Along the way, he joined the school band, and although he wanted to play clarinet, the band director needed saxophone players, so he handed one to Kanoa, and it's been his companion ever since. After a stint at the prestigious Berklee College of Music in Boston, Kanoa returned to New Mexico, playing in various ensembles over the years, teaching, touring with Otmar Liebert, and lately exploring West African drumming and mbira from Zimbabwe. Kanoa talked about his influences and shared his own music with Mark Weber.
Was there any one peak moment or that got you to play jazz, or just sort of eventually evolved? Because saxophone is such a jazz instrument.
I would say the early peak moment was just hearing the high school jazz band play. And there was I forget the guy's name, but he just played one of these really cool solos, and that's enough to do it for me, you know. So it wasn't like I listened to Train and say, oh, you know.
Well, then what happened when you did hear Coltrane?
I was confused.
Oh, what did you hear live in Seattle?
Really, I think I was confused when I first heard him, but I still liked it, you know. It was intriguing. It drew me to listen to him more, you know, but when you're that young and you're not really focused on music per se, a lot escapes. So, you know, now I can listen to them in a different way. Of course, you know, your ears are another instrument that you have to develop over time. And, you know, I feel like I'm behind in that regard. You know, I just, that's a whole nother axe. It really is another axe that you gotta get into. You know, like instead of just picking up the saxophone and practicing whatever you got to practice, just sitting down and listening to a CD and listening to how everybody plays with everybody, or how one person plays. You know, there's different ways to listen to things. You can listen to the whole thing and hear everybody. You can listen to one guy and just focus on that.
Do you feel like you're a natural musician, or are you one of these schlubs that's just got to slog away and learn, really learn?
I've been slogging away, man. Are you kidding?
I don't know. I think you got a little bit of both. Every time I've ever seen you play over the last 10 years, though, you have a real talent for heating things up real fast and keeping it heated up. You don't hear that too often.
I guess it's just you know, my preference for playing, I guess. Maybe it's probably the influences from, you know, the people that I listen to, Coltrane and Joe Henderson, Wayne Shorter, you know, Sonny Rollins.
Kanoa, you've brought in a few recordings that are important to you, have been important to you in your development, and we've got Lonnie's Lament lined up here with Coltrane's famous quartet with Jimmy and McCoy and Elvin. Tell us, what do we think about in jazz when we think about John Coltrane?
We think about everything with John Coltrane. We think about emotions. We think about just music as a thing, you know. We think of beauty and tone. When I think of John Coltrane, I think of his rhythm section too. I mean, the four of them go hand in hand, so it's a group, you know, and they're living and breathing. It's a great way to see life, hear life, you know. And this cut, Lonnie's Lament, is just, I mean, you hear the lament, man. he responded to his players, and his players responded to him. And that's the kind of music they made, night after night.
Where does Wayne Shorter fit in to who is Kanoa Kalahiva?
Wayne Shorter, gosh, compositionally, just over the top, you know, what he writes and how he writes it, you know, the simplicity of it all and the complexity of it all, the two go hand in hand, you know, and that's what I see in Wayne Shorter's compositions, and that's what I see in his playing, too. He can get away with playing a note or a couple of notes and say a lot. And to do that, you got to know who you are to pull that off. And it speaks volumes about who Wayne Shorter is. So I think that was Ron Carter on bass, Alvin Jones, and Herbie, and Freddie. Bunch of bad mammy jammies. Yes, sir.
Joe Henderson. Who is Joe Henderson to you?
Another heavy influence, both from a playing standpoint and writing. You know, I just marvel at the way these people that we're talking about can execute how they're feeling, you know, in a musical sense, or how they're breathing, how they're living. It's just intense to see it at that magnitude or hear it at that magnitude.
Loves You Porgy.
Yeah, and it's quite intimate. Joe Henderson, man, he's bad. I mean, he was bad.
So when did you go to Berklee College of Music in Boston?
Boston. That was 79.
Right out of high school?
Right out of high school. Yeah, so Berklee was...
a good thing?
A good thing, yeah. And it was a good thing on all aspects, you know, just jumping from Las Cruces to Boston. That was a big thing for me,
yeah,
culturally. You know, Branford Marcellus was there, Jeff Tane Watts, you know.
In school themselves.
In school, you know, these monster players were going to school, and then, you know, for the summer they'd go tour with Art Blakey or somebody.
Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous, but there they were.
Are you one of these people that somebody can play some crazy chord and you know what it is?
No.
Chords are pretty important to you?
Yeah, it's, you know, chords are dealing with harmony, and I like harmony. In fact, I'm working on the chromatic aspect of playing. I'm trying to figure out these, they're called mutually exclusive triads, And it's a thing that I got out of Slonimsky's book, Nicholas Slonimsky, the
Coltrane learned that.
Coltrane, yeah. In fact, I checked it out because I heard Coltrane checked it out. And he's talking about mutually exclusive triads. So there's four triads that encompass 12 tones, and neither one of them share the same tone, right? You know, for instance, one of them would be two major triads and two minor triads. So C, B flat, G sharp, F sharp. And the first two are major triads. So C and B flat are the major triads. And the last two are the minor triads. So I'll just play, and I'll just keep relating to C so that you can get a tonal center, and then you can see how wiggly it gets after that when you start adding the other triads. So that's, you know, that's a regular two triad pair thing that Walt Weisskopf might do, you know. So I'll play a little bit more of that, and then I'll add the next triad, which is a minor triad. You know, when I do this, I'm trying to think of a tonal center, so maybe C is my tonal center, and maybe I'll just mess with two of them at a time or three of them at a time, and it doesn't have to be a certain order. It could just be, you know,
resequence the notes.
Yeah, and then maybe I can add all of them. So I'll just give you a little example of what I just said there. Yeah, so I got through the chromatic scale per se, yeah, but now it's not so random. It's, you know what I mean now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you slide that into a Coltrane tune, or do you use that on your own stuff? Just anywhere?
Sure, yeah. You could use that on a standard.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to experiment, and time will tell. You know, it's not like I can just totally throw it down and convince you that it was the right thing to do. You know, for that tune or whatever.
As an example of your own music, you've brought in Ron Hellman Quintet, Santa Fe trumpet player,
yeah.
Stella by Starlight. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, it's just it's not an example of my writing or anything, but, you know, just the current playing that I've done recently or recording recently. This was with Ryan Anthony on drums, John Gagan, Ron Hellman on trumpet, and Bert Dalton on piano.
Thinking about when you take that solo?
Jeez. I couldn't tell you for sure, but I would imagine, you know, I'm thinking of the melody, trying to relate to the melody and the harmony, and to my other players, share a piece of myself with everybody there.
And what's this other track with Milo and Friends?
That's Everything Happens to Me. It's a ballad.
Mm-hmm.
Everything Happens to Me.
Yeah, the chronic whiner song.
Really?
But if you look at the lyrics, it's funny.
Cano, is it true that playing ballads is harder than, say, a straight-ahead melt-your-face barn burner?
They're both hard for me. Sometimes it is just all hard.
After all the years you've been involved in the music, what is it that still attracts you to music?
Well, the challenge is one thing. And it's just gratifying to connect with other musicians, you know. Albeit rarely at times. But, you know, just that one little time is enough to keep you going for who knows how many years. You know, a friend of mine, Luis Guerra, said that, you know, if you hear the person's soul coming through the music, then it doesn't matter what kind of music it is, man. It'll touch you, right?
Is jazz your favorite music?
Jazz is one of my favorite musics.
Now, it seems like about 3 years ago I saw you with a band that I would liken to a Miles Davis Bitches Brew type of a band. Spun my head off.
Which one was that?
You were wearing leather pants and the whole bit.
All right. That was probably my first attempt at Soul's Desire, which is probably going to be my main band down the line here.
Then the last time I saw you, which wasn't too long ago, was that absolutely tremendous Shona Music concert that you gave.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I was flabbergasted.
Thanks.
From Zimbabwe?
Yeah. Can I say about that, you know, the Imbira just moves me. I love to play it, and it's a lot of fun.
Is that a passing thing, you think, or you?
No.
It's hard to say at this point, huh?
It's not passing. It's here to stay for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When you play the Imbira, do you actually play traditional tunes or a little?
Well, I try to. and then I'm already experimenting with setting up vamps and different meters.
Could you show us?
Yeah, sure. The Imbira is a soundboard that has a bunch of keys on it, things that are forged out of steel. They're in one key. So, you know, it's kind of like a harmonica where you have a different key for each Imbira. There's bottle caps that act as a kind of a percussive sound. I should mention also that when you play Imbira, you're supposed to have a hosho, which is a kind of like maraca-looking thing. It's a couple of gourds. There's seeds inside of them that make this like a sound. That's going on while you're playing with another Imbira player, and you know, it's kind of difficult, but I'll try to play a little bit without hosho, because we don't have hosho player here.
Noah Kalahiva, thank you for talking with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mark.
Kanoa Kalahiva, veteran saxophone player and lately an Imbira player. He was interviewed by Mark Weber. To learn more about Kanoa Kalahiva and to hear more from our session, visit our website, newmexicojazz.org. That's newmexicojazz.org for more profiles of jazz musicians with New Mexico ties. The Jazz of Enchantment radio series is engineered by Nola Daves Moses. We had help from Carol Boss. Support comes from the New Mexico Humanities Council, the City of Albuquerque's Urban Enhancement Trust Fund, and Good Radio Shows Incorporated. I'm Paul Ingalls.